From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fifth day of August 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing in Hollister, Missouri. And we'll have an extended discussion about the weather forecast across the planet with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, September corn today up 2¾ of a cent, settled at $3.11. December, 3.23¼, up 3. The March at 3.35½, 3¼ higher. And May corn, $3.43¾, 3½ higher. July of next year at 3.50¾, up 3½. August soybeans down a penny and 3/4, $8.82 the settlement price. November at 8.78¾, down 3. January beans 2¾ lower at $8.85¼, and next year's July at $8.99¼ unchanged. Bean oil up 17 cents and the bean meal down $1.40. Wheat futures in the soft red September at $5.10¾ per bushel, up 2½ cents. The hard red September at $4.26½, both of those the lead option, up 4¼ cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby August contract at $102.30 per 100 pounds, up 2½ cents. August feeders at $144.80, a dime higher on the day. And lean hogs at $49.45, down 25 cents. Energy's trading the crude oil up 50 cents at $42.19 a barrel. Ethanol futures about a penny higher at $1.16, and heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.26¼, just about unchanged. Gasoline at $1.22¾ of a cent per gallon, up 9¾, and natural gas a penny and 6 cents lower at $2.17¾ of a cent. We're now joined by Jackie Vakes. She's from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri, to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, good afternoon to you, Jackie. Tell me about those support and resistance levels, please.
Well, September corn didn't really change much. 296 for support, 350 for resistance. December, however, did. 313 for support, 325 for resistance right now. Beans, September, 872 for support, continuing well. This is big long term, 991 on long term, but on the near term, it's 891. November, 871 support and 891 also for resistance. Dow Jones, 25,230 for support, and this week a big change, 29,568 for resistance again. So we've popped through that level we were looking at, that 26,688, and are headed back in that neighborhood of the highs. U.S. dollar index, support 89.60 and resistance at 97.87. When we look at managed money this week, Todd, you can certainly see the trend, and it has shown on the board. Soft red wheat, 10,000 short compared to 11 last week, so they didn't do much there. Corn, 183,000 short compared to 147 last week. Soybeans, 58 long compared to 80 last week. Soy meal, 23 short compared to 24, and soy oil, 53 long compared to 32 long last week. So they've been moving around, getting shorter corn and lightening up on some of their long bean positions. So we've been watching it as the board has been all over the place. Export inspections, wheat exports are now running 9% ahead of a year ago. They were up 8% last week. Corn, 16% behind, exactly the same as it was a week ago, and soybeans are down 5% on the year now compared to 4% last week.
So last week, I came back from Iowa. I went through that west central part of Iowa, saw the driest regions, some of them, where crop looked really bad from the field, but on the inside when I got out and pulled ears, it looked really good. That has a lot to do with soil moisture content. I know you've been tracking that all season long. What does it look like?
Well, right now, for this week, the five states with the best soil moisture were Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Indiana, and Kentucky. And with the lowest was Iowa, North Carolina, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Nebraska. So two majors in there, you know, with Iowa and Nebraska both being in a shorter area, and Illinois and Indiana being in the plus area. But at this time of year, sometimes that's, you know, we're talking topsoil moisture, you know, so that doesn't always mean a lot, but it it's an indicator. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, speaking of indicators, each week you've been updating us on what trend line yield changes look like state by state based on crop conditions. Are there changes for this week?
Oh, yeah, there's changes. They could scare the pants off of you is what they could do, I'm telling you, compared to last week. Last week we had 12.1% of the corn states were below trend line. This week it went to 9.7. Last week we had 39.5% at trend line. This week it's 13.7. Last week at 39.5 above trend line, we now have 67.7 above trend line. So you can certainly see why the market, Wowzer is right. Now we go to beans. Same number below trend line, 8%. Last week we had 42.5% at trend line. This week it's 17.1%. And states above trend line, 44.6 last week, 70% this week. And I mean, we're talking major states in the above trend line. So it's a pretty scary situation in that respect. Granted, this is, you know, based on crop progress and everything else, but it's always been a fairly good indicator. And this would explain the attitude of the trade, basically, and what we've seen happen since crop progress came out on Monday.
Next week, on that note, USDA will release its crop production report, the first one of the season for corn and soybeans. I know there are some early numbers out there. What have we been seeing from companies like StoneX and whatever Informa happens to be called at the moment?
You mean Face?
Yes.
That's what Informa is now, it's Face. You know, so they estimate the 2020 corn crop at 15,036,000,000, while the USDA is at 15 billion and StoneX is at 15,320,000,000. We look at the bean crop, they're at 4.355 billion bushels. USDA is at 4.135, and Stone came out at 4.496. And if we look at wheat, 1.843 billion versus 1.824 billion for the USDA. So that one's fairly close. When you look at the soybean crop in the world, 371 million metric tons versus the USDA at 362. The corn crop coming in at 1.159 million metric tons versus 1.163. So that's actually down a little on the world number. And the wheat number, 759 million metric tons versus the USDA at 769. So that is also down a little bit on that number. You know, at the same time, we had FC Stone come out, they did a survey. Todd, I'm sure you've seen it. it's pretty interesting. I mean, they've got Iowa at 202 on corn and 60 on beans. They've got us at 212 and 68 on beans. If you look up even into North Dakota, 155 on corn, 38 on beans. South Dakota, 165 on corn, 49 on beans. Pretty amazing numbers. Just straight across the board. So I think that, you know, it may bear out what we're looking at about the trend line numbers.
Yeah, we'll try to dig into some of these numbers, in particular the ones from StoneX, which was FC Stone. Arlen Suderman will join you and Mike Zuzulo on our Commodity Week program. We're recording tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. And just a quick reminder that the numbers you gave first to begin with do come from what is now known as Food and Ag Commodity Economics. That's FACE, and was what Informa has become after a couple, two or three iterations. They've been changing names for a while now. So
right.
Food and Ag Commodity Economics is
okay. what
they are. Our FACE.
FACE.
FACE for short. So
we'll have to remember that.
We'll talk all about that tomorrow, and I look forward to that conversation.
Yep.
You usually have some things for us from around the planet. Did you dig anything up on China this week?
Well, you know, we all know that we've seen active sales to China. They took corn from the interior, and they took beans from the interior in the Gulf. I have a concern, Todd, and I'm going to express it. You know, I feel like they may be front-loading, and when we really need the sales, you know, to hold the prices, they're just going to stop. I don't put anything past them. I know that they have the requirement for phase one, you know, and everything else, but I've seen this type of thing in the past. So just a word of caution. be prepared. And, you know, if you haven't done anything on your old crop, certainly do something and can do something on 21. I'll tell you what, this could get to be an ugly situation. So they're still trying to determine just what the reasoning is behind all this mystery seed, from what I understand. And more important to us is their crush actually fell to a 7-week low, according to AgriCensus. You know, basically, that's the lowest we've seen since mid-June, which wouldn't usually support buying a lot of beans, but it's happening because of the floods. And they are just disrupting logistics like crazy. So once these floods straighten out too, we may see a change there. So I'm just saying, you know, put up a flag of caution. I've got a yellow flag up here. I'm not trusting this whole situation at this point in time.
In Brazil, they'll be looking to put a crop in the ground this fall, just a couple of months away. La Nina might be in play. Eric Snodgrass telling us that on our closing market report from Friday of last week. What'd you see from them?
Well, you know, it's interesting. They may produce a record wheat crop this year in 2020. You know, so far the weather's really been good, and there really haven't been any major outbreaks of diseases or pests. You know, but they have one reoccurring problem when it comes to being a Brazilian wheat producer, you know, and that's the potential for heavy rains during harvest. You know, they can have the most beautiful crop, but if you can't get it out of the field, and we know from being down there that we saw a 20-minute rain that kept them out of the field for 2 days because of the high iron content. It just becomes like walking on ice. You can fall down like nothing, and so you can see why it would do that. So we'll see once. It's going to have to bear out that they don't end up with any heavy rain, and then they probably will have a record crop.
And Argentina?
Well, we're back to the water. They're releasing some water off the Itapu Dam again, trying to increase the water flow on the Paraná River. That level, you know, there's 104 barges right now loaded with 100,000 metric tons of Paraguay soybeans that are sitting there because they can't get through the locks. And I cannot pronounce this name. Yacritais, I believe is what it is, dam. So this is causing all kinds of logistical problems, you know, for the port of Rosario in Argentina. You know, 80% of all Argentina's grain exports go out of the port of Rosario, and they do depend on getting things down from Paraguay on the Paraná River. And so this continues to be a pretty nasty situation. You know, I guess it's kind of expected, Todd, because, you know, they're in their dry season right now. So they expect that they're going to have heavy rains that are going to replenish the river is not very likely.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us today, and I look forward to our Commodity Week discussion tomorrow.
You bet. See you then. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you, too. That's Jackie Vake. She's with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. On this Wednesday, we're now joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to take a look at the weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Rather than going around the planet by growing region, I think I want to go by crop this time around. Let's start with wheat, because in North America, I believe there's some problems, and there are also problems in Eurasia.
Absolutely. In North America, we do have some dryness occurring in the northern plains and up into Canada's prairies. And the situation is really accelerating right now. We turned some kind of a corner here about 2.5 weeks ago, and it's been just very warm and dry with low humidity across both those areas. We're accelerating the drying trend. Most of Montana and the western parts of the Dakotas are running very short on topsoil moisture and short on subsoil moisture. The same is occurring in Canada's prairies, although there's a little more subsoil moisture there because they have a temperature bias that's not quite as warm as that is the northern plains at times. So they've conserved their moisture a little bit better. But boy, it's drying down very quickly up there. And as we go forward through the next 2 weeks, there's going to be a continuation of little to no rain in all of this region. Now, for the northern plains, of course, spring wheat is in the process of maturing and being harvested right now. So all this is going to do is accelerate that maturation rate. It probably won't have a huge impact on the bottom line, except for the fact that some of that region has been dry for quite a while, and so the yields are off, but not because of the current dry trend. In Canada, though, there's a lot more crop that's immature. And there really is going to be a little bit of a cut in the overall bottom line quality and maybe some yield for some of that crop up that way. And so we're going to be watching the situation pretty closely. Temperatures will be in the 80s and 90s on a regular basis for the next 10 days to 2 weeks up there. Only a few spits and spats of moisture expected.
And in the Black Sea area? And France, for that matter?
Yeah, actually, from a wheat perspective, of course, it's harvest season in many of those areas you mentioned. But we did cut into the production rather deeply in both those areas, areas from East Ukraine into Kazakhstan. They had a lot of trouble with production this year with their winter crops and to a certain degree, some of the spring crops, although it's more, of course, grains and oil seeds in the case of the spring crops, I think, in the Black Sea area. France, of course, has had just a crazy dry year. And the only thing that's really protected any of their crops is the fact that it hasn't been excessively hot there. We have seen a couple of rounds of heat here just in the past week, and we're going to see another one this coming weekend. And that's kind of, it's going to zap some of the corn and sunseed yield, maybe soybeans there too. But the wheat, of course, is being harvested or is already pretty far harvested already, so not a big impact there. In Russia, they have a spring wheat crop of significance in the Newlands region. That's east of the Ural Mountains. And a lot of that crop over there has been dry through a big part of the growing season. Some of it's been more critically dry than other areas, but the area definitely needs some significant amounts of moisture. And just this coming week, we're going to finally see some rainfall across some of that region. Now, I make it sound like it hasn't rained at all, and that's a little misleading. Their rainfall has been sporadic and light. The crop has struggled for a fair amount of the growing season, but it's not a disaster. Certainly, the rain that's coming on right now will be helpful in improving the crop as it moves closer to its full maturation.
Here in the Corn Belt, the weather this week is magnificent, and by all accounts, so are the corn and soybean crops. What's your assessment and expectations?
Yeah, it's it's been fantastic. This is the kind of summers we like to have all the time, right? Temperatures here this week have been cool. In fact, to a certain degree, it's maybe a little bit too cool for some of the ideal soybean yields, but we're not going to be like this all the way through the month of August, of course. Warming is coming up. We will see a return of more normalish weather. And I think that this little pause that we've gone through over the past 10 days or so has really been helpful in restoring some moisture in a few areas, but more importantly, taking the stress off the crops, especially at night. And that's really helped it to get caught up a little bit. And now it can probably handle another 10 days to 2 weeks of more stressful environment without running the same kind of risk on production that we were looking at a couple of weeks ago. So it's a really good situation. Of course, I make it sound it's great. And if you're in Iowa, you don't think that I know what I'm talking about, because Iowa's got some real significant dryness. The central and northwest part of that state hurting pretty badly for some moisture. There's some areas in southeastern South Dakota and northeast Nebraska and southwest Minnesota that are all part of that same party there. And also the Delta in the Tennessee River Basin area is another little pocket of dryness that exists. A lot of this isn't so critical. I talked to a gentleman in Iowa a couple of hours ago, and he was telling me that their clayish soil that he has there has really helped them out a lot, plus the fact that it hasn't been excessively hot over any long period of time. And he felt like the crop still could get back on what it's lost so far if it could just get a good rain here in the next week or two. Well, the answer to that is that the rains are going to be sporadic and light for a while, so, and it is going to heat up. So I'm afraid that some of the relief that he's looking for in Iowa is not necessarily coming anytime real soon. The rest of the Midwest, I think we'll coast along okay, but we are going to need a bigger soaking rain after we go through a period of warmer weather this coming weekend and a week later in the second weekend of the two-week outlook.
There's been a lot of stress in parts of China with rainfall and flooding. I think some of the rainfall has been relieved, but you can give me a better idea.
Yeah, absolutely. The worst is over as far as the frequent bashings of crazy amounts of rain. The Yangtze River Basin, their most important and longest river in the country, has had some very horrendous flooding that's occurred this year. Most of that has resulted from just copious amounts of rain, anywhere from 5 to 8 times normal, and just phenomenal since the 1st of March. But most of that frequent rain is over. The rivers are receding. The dams, there are a lot of concerns about dams over there. They've relieved a couple of the dams because they were fearful of collapse. Of course, that created some problems with flooding downstreams, and there's all kinds of crops and property that have been adversely impacted just from the flooding alone, let alone any dams that have been released or broke. The outlook, though, for that area of flooding is better now. We are moving along away from that excessive rain event, and we are going to see gradual improvement. But the damage has been done. The rain started the 1st of March, and they went right up until the early part of this month. There's no way that they're going to be able to recover any of the crops there. Now, most of the crop damage has been for rice. There's been a lot of groundnuts that have been hurt. A smaller portion of cotton, corn, and soybeans have been impacted, too. We just don't know how big that is. But it's not the main corn and soybean producing areas. So I'm figuring just maybe 10% of the crop may be negatively impacted. But we're going to watch that pretty closely. And on that same subject matter of flooding, in case you have any interest in Korea, their rice crop is going to be inundated by its own flood problem over the next week with anywhere from 10 to 25 inches of rain coming up. I say anywhere from, actually, it's going to range like that. We expect to see the border area of North and South Korea to end up with 10 to 20 inches of rain very easily.
Good input, because when China bought corn, they also bought rice. So just offhand, always good to keep track of which commodities are where and how they're doing and how they're being moved across the planet. Speaking of which, South America will begin their growing season in a month and a half or so.
Absolutely. And it still looks like the Brazil crops there are going to be getting off to a good start. It's been a little bit dry in southern parts of Brazil here recently. Some of the wheat crop has experienced a little bit of a deteriorating trend with a drying bias here in the last week to 10 days or so. But that's going to turn around, go the other way. We're going to see some rain come up next week. It's going to moisten up the topsoil. It is time to start planting the early corn crop in southern Brazil. So the rain next week is going to be extremely well-timed, and they should see great success in getting that crop in the ground. On the other side of the fence, in Argentina, of course, the dryness issue is still a huge one for their wheat crop. There's still a lot of dryness in the western portion of the country, anywhere from 20 to 23% of the crop. Is in that dry region, and it doesn't look like it's going to rain there for a couple of weeks. And there's even some folks now starting to talk a little bit about the corn planting prospects for Argentina, even though that's still a few weeks down the road. But there's a lot of chatter out there that maybe if we start evolving into a La Nina, the drought will get a lot worse rather than better, and so that might have an impact on early corn plantings there too. I'm not ready to buy into that, but we just need something else to try to excite the market, and that's what they're trying to do with it down there.
Hey, thanks so much.
Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.